Is daf is daf yud alf. So we got three lines down on yud alf from alf, and we're going through a number of different amaram who would introduce their drashon. Because Esther, they quote a pasuk somewhere in Tanakh, and darshan that pasuk somehow that was a reference to the story of Purim, to Mordechai, Esther, Haman, Achashverosh, one of them. So we're up to Rabbi Chanina bar Papa pasuk la pischa. He opened up his drasha laha parshasa mehacha from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Hirkavta enosh, that a roshenu, that you placed a enosh, a person, the roshenu, over our heads, and banu va'esh uvamayim, and we entered into fire, into water. So what does this pasuk refer to? Va'esh v'mei Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. The fire refers to the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And when he threw in, again, Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah, threw them into the esh, that's why it's called esh. Uvamayim v'mei Paro, we know the whole story of Paro, and the water, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Nile. So that's why B'mayim refers to Paro. V'totzienu l'arvaya b'mei Haman, that's a reference to, they took us out to Ravaya, which means to abundance. That's a reference to Haman. Why is it a reference to Haman? Because Kosi Ravaya, we say, Kosi Ravaya is a reference to an abundance of a cup, referring to a mishta, the drinking, the wine, the partying that happened during the times of Haman. Comes on Rabbi Yochanan pasuk la pischa la parshas meyacha. He'd use the following pasuk as the introduction. The pasuk says Zachar chasdo ve'munaso, that he Hashem had remembered his kindness and his belief. Leves Yisrael, he trusted in Klaisol. Ro chol afsi aretz, all those who gathered from the land saw es Yeshua Elokeinu, they saw the salvation from Hashem. So Amasai ro chol afsi aretz es Yeshua Elokeinu. When was it that the entire world saw the Yeshua from Hashem? It must have been b'mei Mordechai v'Esther during that time. Why did everybody see? I'm assuming because since Achashverosh had control over the entire world, so the entire world saw this nes, that's what this the time. Reish Lakish, pasuk la pischa la parshas meyacha. He opened up with the following pasuk that appears. It says, Ari Nohem, as a roaring lion, bedov shokek, and a growling bear, Moshe Rasha al Amdal, was a wicked Moshe, as a ruler, a wicked ruler, al Amdal, on a very poor, weak nation. So what's this a reference to? Ari Nohem, a roaring lion, is referring to Zed Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. He was considered a lion. Dechsibbe, it's written about him, Allah Ari Musubcho, that the lion arose from his from the thicket, which is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Dov Shokek, a growling bear. Zeh Achashverosh refers to Dechsib. The pasuk describes him as Va'aru Chive Achari Sinyona Dom Yolodov. This is a reference to Achashverosh, referring to him as a wild beast, as a bear. The Tanya of Yosef. Rav Yosef teaches us, Elu Parsayim Sheochlim Veshosim Kedov. These are the Persians who would eat and drink like bears. Umisrubalin Basar Kedov. And they were also covered in flesh, in hair like a bear. Umigalin Seir Kedov. And they would grow hair long like a bear. Veinlaim Menucha Kedov. They also don't have rest like a bear. So that's a reference to the Persians and Achashverosh. And Moshe Rasha, who's the evil ruler. Zehaman. And Al Amdal, who's the poor nation, Elu Yisrael Shem Dalin Min HaMitzvos, that they're very poor when it comes to the mitzvos. So I guess there's more a positive way to view the word Dal. The Bnei Yisrael writes that the month of Teves is connected to the mazel based on the Sefer Tzir. The month of Teves is the mazel, is a Dili. A Dili is a pail. So they say the Dili is the mazel of Klal Yisrael. So that's also a lashon of Dal, that we might be poor mitzvos, but Dali also means that we bend down, we're very humble, we draw the water, Ein Mayim El Torah, like a Dali picks up the water, we go down to pick up the water. The Gemara in Tanya says, why is Ein Mayim El Torah, why is Torah compared to water? Because Mayim can't sit on the top of a mountain, it always goes to the bottom. So too, Mayim cannot, rather Torah can't settle in a person who's a Baal Gaiva, who's haughty, who's high up like a mountain, only in a place that's low down. So that could also be a reference to what it means here. Dalim means also that they're Dali, that we're low down and we're able to pick ourselves up by drawing the water, drawing the Torah. Bnei Sasar quotes this, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
He says, yeah, Dole Mashke Mitaras Hashav Ravino. Exactly. He quotes that Rashi, that the Medrash, that he also, he's a Lashon, he was a Dal, just like Eliezer is the Eved. To have Ram, we have to be an Eved to Kadosh Baruch Hu, being a Dali, Dole Mashke Mitaras Hashav Ravino. Okay, the Gemara says, Rebbe Lazar, Pasach La Pischa La HaParshas HaMihacha. He opened up the drasha from the following pasuk. It says, "Batzaltaim yimach hamikara." Through atzaltaim, atzlanus, through laziness, the ceiling, the mikara is the ceiling. It collapses. Yimach, it falls. ubishiflas yadaimin, through the idleness of one's hand, yidlaf habayis, there are leaks in the house. The dlaf, the Mishnah Beitza talks about dlaf is a drip, if there's a drip from the house. So again, through laziness, the ceiling collapses, and through the laziness of the person's hand, the house begins to leak. What does this pasuk have to do with Purim? Bishvil atzlas shayar lahem liyisrael, because Klal Yisrael was lazy, shelo asku b'Torah, they were not learning Torah, nasis sono shakadosh baruch hu humach. So the enemy of Klal Yisrael, meaning of Hashem, meaning those of Klal Yisrael who were not listening, they became mach, they became poor. Vein mach ela ani, as the pasuk says, shenemar v'im mach hu me'arkecha, if a person's too poor for the assessment, referring to halachas v'erchim, the pasuk means mach is a poor person. Vein mekare ela kadosh baruch hu, the ceiling means Hashem, he's the upper ceiling. Shenemar hamekare v'mayim aliyosav, Hashem, he's the roof of the upper chambers with water. So I don't know why this is referring to Purim. I guess it's referring to the time period when Klal Yisrael was very weak in Limud HaTorah. That would cause them the whole story of Haman, I guess.
Because they were not doing Torah, they became chayiv in the Purim.
I'm saying, so in his explanation, he doesn't talk about this being Purim. We're assuming, and I assume it's Purim, but he didn't mention that when was this happening, this was Purim. We know it happened. I'm just saying the Gemara doesn't mention that, so I'm just assuming, because of the context, he's clearly referring to this is what happened during the time of Purim, even though it doesn't actually say this. Okay, the Gemara says, now Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak pasuk lapischa la parshas mihacha. He used the following pasuk as an introduction. The pasuk says, Shir Malos, Lule Hashem Shaya Lano Yomar Na Yisrael. He says, Shir Malos, a song of going up, of elevation. So, Lule Hashem, had not Hashem been with us, Yomar na Yisrael, that occurred, let Klal Yisrael declare, Lule Hashem sher lanu bukum aleinu adam, had not Hashem been with us when a man rose up against us. So this is the pasuk in Tehillim. So what's this referring to? Adam velo melech. So this refers to a man as opposed to a king. Who is a man? Haman. Haman wasn't a king. We're usually scared of a melech. We're scared of a king of Persia, a king of Rome, a king of whatever the Malchus is. But this pasuk says, bukum aleinu adam, a person not a king. That's a clear reference to Haman. Rava pasach la pischa la parshas miyacha. He would open up from the following pasuk, as it says, "Birvos tzadikim yismacham." When the tzadikim are birvos, when they are raised, elevated, yismacham, the people are going to be happy. Uvim shol rasha yanach am. But when they're being ruled over by a rasha, they're going to let out a big sigh. Yanach means a sigh. The Gemara in Ksuba says, when a person sighs, it takes away half his energy. When a person sighs, half his energy is taken away by a sigh. That's our response to the Moshe Rasha. So what's this referring to? Birvos tzadikim yismach ha'am. When the tzadikim are going to be elevated, that's when we're going to be happy. Then Mordechai v'Esther, when they took control. D'chsiv v'ha'ir shushan tzala v'samecha. We were full of simcha when they took over. Uvimshol Rasha yanach ha'am. When a Rasha is taking over, we're going to let out a sigh. Zeh Haman. D'chsiv v'ha'ir shushan navocha. And this place was weak, was bewildered, was mourning when Haman was in control. Rav Masna Amar Mehacha. Rav Masna would open up from a different pasuk. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krov me love. Who is the nation who's so great that Kadosh Baruch Hu is so close to them? So why is this a reference to, why is this an introduction to Megillas Esther though? The whole long footnote here. So the Sfas Emes apparently says in the Maral is because the reason why we are saved is because of tefillah. Tefillah is our way of connecting to Hashem. The Lashon of Tefillah, it's Lashon of Naftali. It means to connect, to come closer. Psil, Tcheles, intertwined. It says also, by Klecheres, Psil, I forget the Lashon exactly in the Pasuk, but Psil, Tefillah is a Lashon of being connected. So since we are so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through the Tefillah we were saved, that's what means Krovim Elav. With Ashi, Amar Mehachi, he brings another pasuk as his introduction to the shir. Oh, Hanisa Elokim, the miracles that Kadosh Baruch Hu did, and we know, of course, they were tremendous nizim that took place during the story of Purim. Now we're darshaning various psukim in Megillas Esther. So now we begin a real learning of Megillas Esther. We did all the introductions now. So the pasuk says, the first few words of the pasuk, Vayhi b'meach HaShverosh, the pasuk says, what does it mean? Amar Rav, Vay Vihi. We break the word of Vayhi to Vay Vihi, or which we really so woe, and he's a lashon of mourning. Hada dechsiv, that's our opening words. We're mourning, we're crying at the Bimei Achashverosh. The pasuk says, "Vismakartem sham loivecha lavadim lishvachos," because you will sell yourselves to your enemies as slaves. That's because that's the pasuk. Where's that pasuk found? That is in the end of Devarim. So it's a reference to that point. We'd be crying as we get sold to Achashverosh. So that Shmuel comes along and says, "Amar lo me'astim." This is his introduction. Lo ma'astim v'logaltim l'chalosam. I'm not sure why we're going back to Shmuel now, but Shmuel has his own introduction. What he means is, literally, the pasuk means, I will not have been revolted by them, nor will I have rejected them to destroy them. So what's the drash of the pasuk? Lo ma'astim, I will not have been revolted by them, b'mei yivanim, that's during the times of the Greeks, v'logaltim, nor will I have rejected them, that's b'mei Nebuchadnezzar. L'chalosam, to destroy them, b'mei Haman, who wanted to destroy us. Lahafer brisi itam, to break the bris with them, that's bimei parsam, during the times of the Persians. Ki ani Hashem elokeihem, I am the God, Hashem your God, bimei gog u'magog. So this pasuk is broken down to different time periods, different of the four exiles we went through during history. This is a brisa now, it says, bimasnisa tana, the brisa teaches us, lo ma'astim bimei kazdim, it's referring to a different time period of the kazdim. Shemadati lahem Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azaria, that I appointed Daniel and the other three Nevi'im. We saw this, I think it was Daf Gimel, we saw the four of them together. V'lo ga'altim b'mei Yivanim, that refers to the times of the Greeks. Shemadati lahem Shimon HaTzadik v'chashmonai Yivanov Matatio ben Kohen Gadol. That's a reference to the times of the Greeks. And l'chalosam, that b'mei Haman, when he tried to wipe us out. Shemadati lahem Mordechai v'Esther. And l'hafer b'sitam, that's b'mei Parsam, during the times of the Persians, where he, Shemati Lahem Shabbos Rebbe, V'chach Medoras, where he appointed Rebbe, Yehuda Nasi, and all the other Chachamim. And finally, Ki Ani Hashem Elokeihem, Lost Lavo, that's going to be in the future, She'ein Kol Umma V'lashon Yichol Elisho Behem, where nobody will be able to be dominate, to control over the Jews. Okay? Continuing now with other introductions, before we get back to the Megillah, Rebbe Levi Amar Mehacha, he said, what was his introduction in a line was, Vim lo sorishu es yoshve haaretz, if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land. So that was his introduction to the pasuk. So why is that connected to Megillah's Esther? Because it's referring to Shaul, who was supposed to wipe out Amalek. He didn't do a good job of that. And because of that, it led to Haman and everybody else. So that's why that's the introduction to his Joshua. Rebbe Chia Amar Mehacha, he had another source. The pasuk says, "V'haya kasher dimisi," and it shall come to pass that la'asos lahem eselachem, that what I had thought to do to them, I will do to you. So, what's it? Why is it referring to Haman here? I guess whatever Haman wanted to do to Klai, so we ended up doing to Haman. He tried preparing the big tree to hang us all. He ended up being hanged himself on the tree. Now, I got back to darshaning Megillas Esther. The pasuk says, "Achashverosh." Amar Rav, Rav says, what does that mean? Ochiv Sharosh Uven Gilo Sharosh. He was the brother of the head, and he's also of the same character as the head. Well, who's the Sharosh? Ochiv Sharosh, Ochiv Shal Nebuchadnezzar, Arasha Shanikar Rosh. Nebuchadnezzar was called the Rosh, and he was the brother of Nebuchadnezzar. How do we see that he was called the Rosh? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ant Hu Resha Didahava. The pasuk in Daniel, I think, that you are the head, you are ahead of the gold, so that's referring to Nebuchadnezzar being the Rosh. How do we know they had the same character, Ben Gila Sharosh? Hu Harag, Hu Bikesh Harag, that Nebuchadnezzar actually killed, Achashverosh attempted to kill. Hu Hechriv, that Nebuchadnezzar actually destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and Hu Bikesh Lahachriv, Achashverosh wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So they had the same intentions, even though Achashverosh wasn't successful, they still came from the same Ratzon. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Uvemalchus Achashverosh b'tchilas malchus," on the beginning of his malchus, "Kasu sitna al Yoshvei Yehuda v'Yishlaim." He wrote a document to have the Beis Hamikdash Yehuda and Yishlaim all destroyed. So that was his intention. So that's all according to Rav, that he was again the Ach Shel Rosh, the Ben Gilo Shel Rosh. Now comes along Shmuel, and Shmuel argues in Rav. Shmuel says, "No, you know what it means, Achashverosh? That word, the name, Amar Shehusharu Pneim Shel Yisrael Biyamav Kishulei." Kedera. Sheushcharu, lashon of darken, that the faces of the Yidden were darkened during the days, just like the bottom of a pot gets very black. So why were they darkened? What happened? Because they were darkened. So, don't really explain why this, how they got darkened, but let's see what they say further here. Okay, I'm not sure it means literally darkened. But then Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kol Shezochro Amar Ach L'Rosh. Anybody who remembers, who recalls Achashverosh, says, woe upon his head. They were so angry, so upset. That was the response. Ach, to the Rosh, to Achashverosh. That's what was the nature of his name. Rabbi Chanina Amar Shakol Nasu Rosh and Biyam of everybody became very poor in his times. Lashon of Rash Reishin is to be poor. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayosim Hamelch Achashverosh Mas. He placed very, very heavy taxes on everybody to the point where they're all very rash. They were all very poor. Next two words in the Megillah. Who Achashverosh? He was Achashverosh. Who Berisho Mitchilaso Vatzofo? He was the Russia from the beginning to the end. There was no change. That was who he was his entire life. Just like we have who Esav, who Berisho Mitchilaso Vatzofo. He was born evil and he ended evil. Who Dasan Vaviram? Hein Berishon Mitchilasan Vatzofo. They were always the evil. Who Amelch Achaz? Who Berisho Mitchilaso Vatzofo. Anytime you see the word who and the name, it's telling us they are consistently that way, that character, their entire life. Avram, who Avram, in the positive way. Who betzidko mitchilas v'atofa. He was good from the beginning until his end. Who Aaron u'Moshe, betehen betzidkan mitchilas v'atofa, of course. And the David, who akatan, he was a katan. Who bekatnuso mitchilas v'atofa. Kishem she bekatnuso hikten atmel. Just like when he was younger, he humbled himself. Eitzel misha gadol mimana b'torah. Just in front of somebody who's greater than him. Kach, so too, he was also, and when he was a king, he lowered himself in front of those who were greater. Gemaras and Brachos talk about how he would sit there knee-deep looking at different things and be involved in blood and checking different things because he didn't really care. He was such a humble individual. They point out that the word David itself, Dalet, we said before, Dalet is Dal. Lashon Dal is poor, lowly. So Dalet is Dal. Hey is something of more significant. Hey is a letter of Hashem's name. So Dalet Vav makes a Hey. That's a very Chashiv thing. A Dalet plus a Vav makes a Hey, which is Chashiv. But even after that, it still says a Dalet at the end. He still kept his Anivus of being a Dali, of being a Dalet, even after he was acquiring that Vav. That's what they point out in the Svarim. It's also written that David HaKatan, he was a Katan. Not everybody gets the name HaKatan. We have Shmuel HaKatan, David HaKatan. So there's a very big connection of David HaMelech to the moon. The Gemara in Rashan talks about when they had to hide out from the different tzedukim about when the new moon was, they had to have like code words. The code word was David HaMelech, Chai Kayam, because David somehow is connected very much to the moon, which is also a katan with respect to the sun. So that's also a big Indian that the moon was minimized, it was humbled, just like David also was very, very much humbled. Okay, further, the Gemara says, HaMelech, HaMolech, he ruled, that Achashverosh ruled. Amar Rav Shemalach Me'asmo. He became king on his own. He wasn't appointed. He became on his own. He took over the kingdom. Amrilei L'Shvach, Amrilei L'Gnai. There are two ways to look at this. Either it was a praise to Achashverosh, or it was a Gnai for him. It was disgraceful for him. Amrilei L'Shvach, what was the positive twist to this? D'lo Hava Inish D'chashiv L'Makab K'vasei. No one else was worthy as he was. He was the most appropriate person to be the king. Amrilei L'Gnai, what's the negative approach? He really wasn't fit for it. He gave a lot of money. He paid for this position, and he really wasn't worthy of it. So it's a positive and it's a negative understanding how he was self-appointed. Mehodubat Kush. He was ruling over the world from Hod until Kush. From Hodu to Kush. So Rabbi Shmuel, Chad Amar Hodu Besofa Olam, the Kush Besofa Olam. One was at this end of the world, and Kush was at the other end of the world. He ruled over everything. And Chadamar, Hodu v'Kush, Gave Hadad Havukami. They're right next to each other. Two cities right next to each other. So what's a chiddush? It's a very small area. He didn't have too much control. So they explain, Kishem Shemalach al Hodu v'Kush, just like he had full control of these two cities, which was easy because they were adjacent to each other. Kach Malach Minsof Ha'olam V'Atzov V'Sotu. He had that much control over the entire world, even though it was so distant from each other. Kiyotzi B'davar, similarly we have, Ata Omer, Kihu Rode Bechol Ever Hanar Mitifsach Var Aza, that Shlomo HaMelech had complete control from the one side of the river, from Tifsach, all the way until Aza. So where were these two cities located? So again, Rabbi Shmuel Chadamar Tifsach Besof HaOlam, one Tifsach was one end of the world, and Aza Besof HaOlam on the other end of the world, and he had full control over everything in between. But the other one says, Amar Tifsach v'Aza ba'adar ha'adadeh havu, they're right next to each other, Kaima, and Kishem Shemalach al Tifsach v'al Aza, just like he had control over those two cities which are adjacent to each other, Kach Malach al Kol Olam Kulo, he had full control over the entire world as well. So we have this parallel idea between Shlomo HaMelech and Achashverosh. Now the Pasuk says, Sheva v'esem umea midina, he had control over 127 different provinces. Summer of Chisr explains, Betchila Malach al Sheva. First, he had control over seven. Ulvasoch Malach al Esrim, then it turned up to 20. Ulvasoch Malach al Meir, then it ended up being a 100. So Elamiat, if that's the case, how could you darshan the pasuk that way? Shnei Chaya Amram, how long did Amram live for? Sheva Shloshim Mashana. My darsh is bad. He lived for 7, then 30, then 100 years? That doesn't matter. Just say he lived 100 years.
That's what they said for Sarah.
Hmm?
They said that for Sarah. They said
Sheva. You're right. You could ask the question of anyone in the Torah. We all listed that. I'm not sure why they chose Amram, but you're right. They all of them are listed in this way.
For Sarah, they did do it that way.
No, they did it for everyone in the Torah. They listed it that way. They do the first, the smaller number first, the bigger, and then the next number. It's actually a good point. There's a machlokes when it comes to the Gemara and Yuma, in light of that point. How do you do the counting when it comes to the Kohen Gadol doing the sprinkling? Achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shaim, achas v'shalosh. When it comes to the machlokes, the other opinion says, no, you do achas, shtaim v'achas, shlosh v'achas, arba v'achas. You do the bigger number first and the smaller number. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokes? So mark the islay. Depending where they lived, some people counted 41, others counted 140. It's hard for us to understand. 240. So now it comes up in the poskim. If you look in the Siddur, how do you count Sfiras Omer? We say the small number first and the big number. Shloshim v'arba. Or Shloshim v'arbaim, or whatever it is. Shloshim v'shloshim. We do the small number first and then the big number, which is at backwards. So the Magen Avraham writes, why do we do that? Because that's how they counted. That's how they counted where he lived in Europe. But now we count 43. So we really should switch to arbaim v'shloshim, because that's how we count nowadays. It's all about how you normally count. So Shechter suggested a person should really say Arba Mishlosha, but nobody does that because the sitters, you know, say 3, then 40, as opposed to 43.
But
that wasn't a matbea. That already, the Magen Avraham writes, it wasn't a matbea. That's just a count. You count however you count. I could count in English if I want. I could say 43. I could count in Spanish if I knew Spanish. It doesn't make a difference how I'm counting, really. So it wasn't like made a dafka that way. But, okay. So anyway, so the Gemara says clearly, so you can't have a drasha like that, 7, 30, 100. Just say Amram lived to 100 years old. Obviously, that's not what it meant. So the Gemara says, no, shiny hacha de kra yaseiru. The reason why I make a drasha of when it comes to provinces, first 7, 20, and then 100, because the psukim are extra. Why the extra? Michti. Ksiv me holdu vad kush, it says, from the area of holdu vad kush, sheva v'eshim umea medina lamali. So had I known the geography, I would know apparently how many provinces there were from Hodu at Kush. Why did it have to tell me the number, Sheva v'esim umeya, lamali? It must be then the Gemara tells us, Shmamina l'drasha, to make a drasha. So what's a drasha? First he had 7, then he had 20, then he had 100. So if anybody asks you if he had 127 provinces, according to this Gemara he did not have. He only ruled over 100. 100, that's all he had, 100. And the Gemara's point out there's a connection between, you said Sarah. How long did Sarah?
127.
They point out there's a connection between 127 provinces and 127 years that she lived. But it's not really true according to the Gemara.
Only lived
to 100. So I said rather he only had control over 100.
So he only had control of 100. He first started with 7.
According to this Gemara. Okay. The Pashas is there was 127 though. Gemara quotes to Bryson now, Tana Rabbanan. Shloshim Malchu Bekipa. There are three kings who have ruled over the entire world. Ve'lohenin, they are Achav, Vachashverosh, Unvuchanetzer. These are the three kings who ruled over the entire world. Achav, Dichsev, the Pasuk says, Chai Hashem El Kecha, as Hashem, your God lives, Im Yesh Goy, if there's a nation, Umamlocha, Asher Lo Shalach Adoni, Shalom Vakchecha, that I have full control. There's no nation, there's no king that I don't have control over. That's Achav's testimony that he had full control. Vilo, the Abba Malch Alayu, had he not had control, how can he make such a shvu in the name of Hashem that there's no area that he didn't own? It must therefore be that he did own, he had control over the entire world. Nebuchadnezzar, as the Pasuk says, Vayah Goy HaVamlocha, the nation, the kingdom, Asher Lo Yiten Es Tzavaro Be'ol Melech Babel, that has not placed their neck in the control of the king of Babel. So there he had control over the entire world as well. And how do we know Achashverosh HaDamar, like we said above, that he had Hodu Vat Kush, he had one end of the world until the other end of the world, he also was ruling the world, Bekipa, in its entirety under this full dome, if you will.
Only 127 provinces in the world.
Possibly, at that point, maybe. Yeah, but America wasn't discovered yet. Right. Very good. Says the Gemara, Simen Shasrach. Shasrach, that's the Simen. That's a mnemonic to help remember the next few sugyas. The Suleka, there's nobody else, no other kings, only those three kings had full control. The Gemara is going to show some others who had full control. Vaha Ika Shlomo, Shlomo also had full control. So the Gemara says, no, Lo Slika Malchuse. His Malchus wasn't complete. Why not? Let's see, how was it not complete? Does the Mark explain why?
It's going to explain.
Mark explain, okay, fine. So the Gemara says, Hanichaman damar melech vehedyo, to the Gemara's in Gittin, right? Remember, the Gemara's in Gittin, those who are doing Daf Yomi. So Shlomo Melech needed to find where the Shamir was. Why? The Shamir was a special worm that was able to cut through the different stones, right? So he couldn't do it. The halacha is you can't put a knife, a barzel, into the Mizbeach. How are you supposed to fashion the Mizbeach in the base of Mikdash? Had to find the Shamir. How do you find the Shamir? So he had to, he was given the advice, you have to go catch the shade called Ashmadai, or something like that. I don't know how to pronounce the name exactly, Ashmadai. So how do you catch the Ashmadai? So he did this whole trick, and he caught the Ashmadai. And he chained him up, the shade. The shade told him where to find the worm. The worm was being hidden by some bird. He tricked the bird. He put a glass over the bird, and he brought the what happened was, he was covering up the eggs, or the baby chicks with a glass. So the bird came back and started hitting the glass, like banging into the window. So it went to go get the shamir, because this bird knew where the shamir was, dropped it on the glass to break over the glass, then came along Shlomo's Eved, I forget who it was exactly, and he took the worm. The bird then choked itself to death because it had a shvua. It wasn't allowed to tell where the shamir was, so the bird killed itself. Either way, he got hold of the worm to build the base of Migdash. Fine, he goes back and he meets with Ashmedai, have a conversation. Ashmedai says to him, I forget exactly how it started, but in essence, he said, I'll show you how great the Shadim are. So Shlomo takes off the chains. Ashmedai takes him and throws him from one end of the world to the next, and just having a juggling with Shlomo HaMelech. And he ends up losing his mind, becomes a Hedyot, and he starts walking around. Nobody believes it's really Shlomo HaMelech, so he was a Hedyot at that point. So it's Machlokas, whether ever he became back to becoming Melech or not, or he always remained the rest of his life being a Hedyot. That's the Machlokas. So if you assume Bishma, this all makes sense. Hanich l'man damar melech v'hedyot, that he was a king and then became a regular person and never came back to be a king. So then I understand he never had full reign of the malchus. He never gained it back. But elo l'man damar melech v'hedyot u'melech, he was a king, a hedyot, and then came back to becoming king. Ma'ik l'memer. So he did have full control over the entire world. So Shlomo milsa acharita habebe. Shlomo Melech had something above everybody else. He was greater than everybody else. He wasn't just ruling over the Tachtonim. Shemalch al Halayonim ve'al Tachtonim. Shenemar vayeshev Shlomo al Kisei Hashem. He sat on the throne of Hashem. So I guess since he had a unique type of Malchus, it wasn't mentioned with the other three. He also had full control, Bekipa, of the entire world. But he was much higher than them, because he also had control of the Elyonim. Finally, Gemara says, okay, what about Sancheiriv? Have a Sancheiriv who also had full control of the world? Dechsiv, as the pasuk says, ki mi bechol elo hey harato ta'ila, who, which of the gods of the land, referring to gods with the lower G, asher hitzilu es artam miyado, who's going to save us from the land from my hand? Who's going to save you guys? Which seems to indicate that he had full control. There's no god who's going to get in his way. The Gemara says, Ha'iku Yushalayim de lo kavsha. There is one city, Yushalayim, that he was not able to conquer. So because of that one city, he was not considered to have full control of the entire world. V'ha'iku Dayavesh. Dayavesh had full control. The Pasuk says, Dayavesh malka ksav l'chol amamaya umayav l'shnai. He had the ruling over every am, every nation, every language. The Daryan that lived, b'cholara, that lived in the world, shlamchen yiska, that there was peace throughout the world. So we see he had full control. So Gemara says, Ha'ika Sheva de la Malch Alayo. Apparently there were seven provinces which he did not rule. He had a lot. He had 93 or 120, depending how you learn the Joshua. But he had a lot of, but not all of them. There were seven he didn't conquer. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Shifar Kadam Dayavish. That Dayavish was very, very happy. Shvar, Lashon Shapir. He's very happy. The Hakim Al Malchuso, over the appointment of the kingdom. La Hashtarpnaya Miav Esrim. He only had 120. Not 127. So this, by the way, this Josh assumes that there were 127, exactly. So he only had 120, didn't have 127. So because of those seven he didn't have control of, he clearly wasn't the keeper. V'haika Koresh, but didn't Koresh have control? D'chsiv, Komar Koresh Melech Pras said, Komam Lachos Haaretz Nasan Li Hashem. HaKoresh Baruch Hu gave me all the lands. I had full control over everything. So Gemara says, Hasam Ishtapu Chayhu Deka Mishabech B'Nafshe. There he's praising himself, but it wasn't really true. He was building his own ego, but it wasn't really the MS. Gemara now quotes from the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, Bayam Mahim Kishavas HaMelech, it was in those days of Achashverosh that when the king sat. What does this mean? Uchsib Basrei, right afterwards it says, Bishnas Shalosh Lamako, the third year of his reign. So, was it the first year, when he sat, or was this the third year? Unclear which time period this took place in the whole story. So Amar Rava explains, my Kishavas, what does it mean, Kishavas? after, not when he sat down when he began becoming king, but when his das was clear. It wasn't until the third year where he felt some level of comfort and confidence. That's what it's referring to. So Amar Belshazzar Chishevita, he said Belshazzar made a calculation of when the 7 years of Galus were up, and he made a mistake when Bais Rishani was going to come back into effect. I'm going to calculate the 70 years, and I'm going to, in the third year of his kingdom, that's when he's going to start. That's when he made such a mistake. And he thought he wasn't going to make such a mistake. He thought it was during his third year that the 70 years of Galus of Bnei Israel was going to end, and he didn't think he was going to make a mistake. That's what he's referring to. So yes, it was his third year, but Keshev Samach means that's when he thought, when he calculated the end of Galus for Klal Yisrael. Mahi. So what was the mistake of Belshazzar, that he miscalculated the 70 years of Galus? The idea was as follows, by the way. Bais Rishon was destroyed. And then there was Galus for 70 years, and Bais Sheni was rebuilt. So they're trying to figure out, if 70 years came, and Bais Sheni was not rebuilt, that means Klal Yisrael is done. If they lasted for more than 70 years in Galus, that meant they were done. So they got excited. 70 years, no Bais Sheni, that means the Jews are done. So what was the mistake of Belshazzar? So the pasuk says, "Dechsev ki lefi melos leBavel shivim shana." Afkod aschem. The pasuk says, "When 70 years are completed in Bavel, I shall remember you." Uksiv then written lemalos lecharvos Yushalayim shivim shana, to complete the 70 years from the destruction of Yushalayim. So he calculated the 70 years of Bavel began when. Let's see a little further here. Chashiv Arban v'chamish the Nebuchadnezzar. He calculated 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar, ve'esim utlas de Evil, and then 23 years of Evil, who was one of the Merodach, that was his name, of another king. Ve'tarti didei, and 2 years of his own. So 45 plus 23 is what? 67? 68, was it? 45, 23, 68. Plus 2 years of his own, that's 70. That's how he calculated. Chashiv, that's 70. Apik Mane de Bei Makdash, so he started taking out all the different kalim from the Beis HaMikdash. Vishtamis Behun started using it. He thought that's when he's supposed to count the 70 years. Again, when Nebuchadnezzar became the king, that's when he thought the calculation should begin. So Nebuchadnezzar, Minalim Darban V'chamishnin Malach. How do we know that Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years? So the Gemara says, Damar Mar, the statement is, Galu Amer. Oh, this is complicated. I forget. Oh, boy. Okay. I need to take this one slow now. Remember, this is very complicated. These calculations here, there's all this, there's a table down here. Okay, we'll make it through, guys, okay? Fine. So what's the calculation here? How do we know that Nebuchadnezzar was ruling for 45 years? So it says, the Amar Mar, Galu B'Sheva, Galu B'Shemona, Galu B'Shemona Esrei, Galu B'Tishra Esrei. What's going on here? They were exiled in the 7th year. They were exiled in the 8th year. They were exiled in the 18th year. They were exiled in the 19th year. So what exactly is going on here? So Galu B'Sheva, they're exiled during the 7th year, L'chibosh Yehoyakim, Galus Yehoyakim. So they were exiled during the conquest of Yehoyakim, which was the Galus of Yehoyakim, okay, Ushei Shmona Liv Nebuchadnezzar, which was the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so the problem is you have to look at this table. Those who don't have it, it's hard, of course. You can't look at it. But there's a nice table down here that tells you the different kings. I don't know more to tell you. So there are these two kings that are side by side. May I explain it clearly here for you guys? I don't know how else to explain it. But either way, there was Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the world, while Yehoyakim was also ruling, I think it was Eretz Yisrael at the time. So when he was during the 7th year of Yehoyakim, it was the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar. And Galu B'Shemon Esrei, the Kibosh Yehoyakim, Galus Tzidkiyahu. Now during the Galus of Tzidkiyahu, that happened during the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, which was the Shitisha Asrei the that was the 18th year, right, of Yehoyakim, from the Kibush of Yehoyakim, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, there are two different Galus that we're referring to here. There's the Galus of Yehoyakim, and then there's the Galus of Tzidkiyahu. So one Galus took place during the 7th, 8th year of Yoyakim / Nebuchadnezzar, and the Gal Tzidkiyahu will take place during the 18th year of the Kibush Yoyakim, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Damar Mar, Shana Rishona Kibush Nineveh, because it says that Nebuchadnezzar, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, is when Nineveh was conquered. Shnia Kibush Yoyakim, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, Yoyakim was conquered. He was taken over. So again, this is very hard stuff. The only thing I can tell you, I do the best I can explain now, but the only really way to go through this is everyone reading on their own the art scroll and using the charts. I apologize, but we'll do the best we can just to biyote this daf. Pasuk says, "Uksiv vayhi b'shloshim b'sheva shana legalus Yoyachin." It was during the 37th year of Yoyachin, the galus of Yoyachin, Melch Yehuda, the king of Yehuda, b'shnei masar chodesh b'esim v'chamish lechodesh nasa evil merodach melch bavel b'shnas malchuso evil the king. He was the king of Bavel as Rosh Yoyachin Melch Yehuda v'yotze osu mibeis hakalu. I'll just read the English here to make it somewhat clear. And it was during the 37th year of the galus of Yoyachin, in the 12th month, on the 25th month, that Evil Merodach, the king of Bavel, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Yoyachin, the king of Judah, and brought him forth from prison. Okay, so Timnei Hutlash V'sheva. So what happens, when the calculation goes as follows. Nebuchadnezzar was ruling for 8 years before the galus of Yoyachin, and then Tlas and Sheva, then he reigned for another 37 years after the galus of Yoyachin. So that's the calculation of Harei Arban Nechamesh Devun Nebuchadnezzar. That was the 45 years total of Nebuchadnezzar. So that's how we know that calculation. Again, you have to look at the Pesukim to really appreciate that. And what about the Esim Tlas de Evil Merodach? How do we know that Evil ruled for 23 years? That's a Gemara, that's a certain Mesorah that we have. He ruled for 23 years. So that was the calculation that Belshazzar was taking. 45 plus 23. Betarti Didei, in the 2 years of Belshazzar's own ruling, that was Shivan. That's how he got to the calculation of Shivan. They started taking out all the different Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash. So he said, Amar, he said to himself, Hashtavadai Tulo Mifarke. Now we see I'm taking out the Kalim, and Akash Baruch Hu is not remembering Klal Yisrael. So it must be that they're not going to be redeemed. They're done. The Jews are over with. Afik money, he took out the Kalim de Bei Makdasha, he took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, Vishtamish, and started using them. Hainu de Kamar, Blei Daniel, that's what Daniel says, Val Marishmaya, above the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Hisromamta, Ulmanya, Divaisa, Haisiv, Kadamich. This is all Aramaic, hard to understand. So what it means is, above the Master of the Heaven, you have exalted yourself and the vessels of his house they have brought before you. Uksiv, and it's written further in Daniel, Bei Bilele, that very night, Katya Belshazzar, he was they killed him. Rather, that very night, Belshazzar Malka Kasda was killed. He was killed that very night when Daniel told the Kadosh Baruch Hu as to what was going on. Uksiv, then it's written with the Yavish Mada, the Yavish who was from the Mada, that was his name. Kaba Machusa, he became the new king. Kfar Shin Shitin Vitartin for ready for 62 years at the age of 62. Okay, so that's what took place. Belshazzar made a mistake. Now we're up to. Should we go a little further still? Yeah, I think we should go a few more minutes here. Gemara says, Amar, Yihu Mitai Tai. So Achashverosh now said that Belshazzar made a big mistake in calculating. He made the whole wrong thing. Ana Chashivna, I'm going to make the calculation of 70 years. Velo Taino, I'm not going to make a mistake. So Miksiv Lamalchus Bavel. Does the Pasuk say that the calculation begins from when the kingdom of Bavel begins? No. Li Bavel Ksiv. It doesn't say the Malchus Bavel, Li Bavel, to Bavel itself. My Lubavel, what does it mean Lubavel? The Galus Bavel, when they were exiled to Bavel, that's when the calculation begins of the 70 years. So Kama Bitzarin, so now doing some math, how much was missing from Belshazzar's calculation? We have to do 70 minus a few years. How many years are we detracting from the 70 that Belshazzar had calculated? Tamne, apparently there are 8 years from when Nebuchadnezzar became the king until the Galus Bavel. So now we have 8 more years left of the 70 years. So Chashiv Ayel Chilufayu, so he calculated and put in the remaining 8 years. Chadah de Belshazzar, so 1 year when Belshazzar had ruled. And Chamesh de Dayavish, then Dayavish ruled for 5 years, so that's a total of six. The Koresh, so then, turns out, Tarti Didei, 2 years of Achashverosh's ruling, that gets us to 69, and must be Hashiva, now the total is 70. So during the third year of Achashverosh, that was the 70th year, he said nothing's happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not remembering them. He's not rebuilding the base of Mikdash. Must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgot about them. Then he started misusing all the different kalim of the base of Mikdash. Kevin dechazed the Mal Shimon. So continuing, since Achashverosh saw that the 70 years had been complete, lo Ifrok, and they were not redeemed, he said, Amar Hashavadai Tulo Mifarki. Must be that they're no longer going to be redeemed. And Apik Mani, he took out the base of the Kalim from the base of Migdash, Vishamishbu, and started using them as well. Basatan, Virikid Benaim, Viharagis Vashi. That's when the Satan came along and started dancing among the Kalim, among the people, and ended up having Vashti killed. Bar wants to know now, Hashapar Chashav, he made the right calculation. What was wrong? What did he do wrong? He made every, from Pasuk said Lebavel, he counted 70 years from when they were exiled to Bavel. So where did Achashverosh go wrong? So Gemara explained to Ihu, Nami Mitaytai, he also made a mistake. He should have counted from the 70 years from the destruction of the base of Mikdash, which happened 11 years after the exile of Bavel. So he was off 11 years. So Achashverosh was wrong as well in his calculation of 70. Let's go a little further. Gemara says, Sof, Sof, Kama, Bitzeren. So, okay, how many years are left? We just said, Chadasari, there are still 11 years left until the 70 years are over. So, Iu Kama Malach. So, how long did Achashverosh rule for? Our Beisei, he ruled for 14 years. Bar Beisar, the day, so it should have been during the 14th year that he should have built the Beis HaMikdash. Alama Ksiv, why does it say in the Pasuk, Badain B'telas Avidas Beis Eloka Di Yerushalayim. The work of the Beis HaMikdash was discontinued. So what happened there? Why was it discontinued? It should have been built at the 14th year. That was the completion of the 70 years as we know it now. So the Gemara says, Amarava Shanim Mikutals Havu. They were partial years that they were calculated as full years. When they did like the different king, the reigns of the Dayavish and Koresh, they didn't do the full year. They were kings, they were overlapping in certain years. So they were miscalculated by several years. So let's say, for example, Dayavish ruled for 5 years and Koresh was 2 years. It wasn't 7 years, it was really 6 years because the last year of Dayavish was only a half a year. And the first year of Koresh was only half a year, so it was really 6 years as opposed to 7 years. So a couple of those happened along the way. He was off by a couple of years. I don't know exactly how many years, but he was still off by a couple of years. Okay, we'll stop here. Tough calculations, guys, but it gets easier, I think.
It does.
It was the hardest stuff.